Yeah, I hope we've been helpful. That was our intent.
Okay. You have been. Thank you very much. Okay.
If I may jump in real quick.
Sure.
The city of Salinas didn't get a copy of that email from Mr. Cloak. We'd like to see what it says.
It's in the back.
I know you just read it, but we don't have a copy.
It's in the back with the supplementation.
Is there an extra copy there, John?
Don't worry, he didn't waive your rights to due process or anything.
Chairman Young, I'll take a couple minutes to try and address the multiple comments that just heard. Harvey Oswick referred to the 85th percentile storm requirement in the July 25th document, but that document also had a requirement for that to limit flow to the 10-year pre-project peak discharge. Those could be perceived or interpreted as conflicting requirements. Which one do you design for? And my position is that if you're properly mimicking natural hydrology, then you really don't need to worry about the 10-year runoff because it's essentially the same. There was also a lot of talk about this modeling requirement. I think that's somewhat of a red herring because the staff's proposed revisions provide the option of doing modeling or breaking up the project into discrete drainage management areas. Keep in mind, last time we talked about the future growth area, we're talking about potentially 15,000 homes. And we understand that these are going to be broken up into probably three big projects with potentially thousands of homes per development project. I don't think modeling or developing a model is an unreasonable requirement for a project of that size. And like I said, because there's an option, in the event there is a small project, they have the option of using the rational method. Russ Jeffries asked about how we're going to ensure that these development projects truly capture the runoff. You do that by setting numeric criteria that the project applicant has to design for. And I'm submitting that by controlling the 85th percentile storm, you're controlling water quality, you're protecting the channels, and you're preventing flooding problems. It seems to me that the city is essentially asking you or telling you that they're going to implement low-impact development, but that you don't need numeric criteria to do it. That's kind of akin to a wastewater facility coming in here and telling you that they're going to treat the wastewater, but they don't need effluent limits. Our position is that if you don't have numeric criteria that gets measured, then it doesn't get done. And I addressed the comments from Ms. I think Crumley, and regarding Mr. Shimmick's, I told you that was one of the alternatives was to keep the August 13th version of the table of required revisions with an exception to the with an exception for agricultural processing. I don't have a preference.
You don't have a preference?
No.
That would be acceptable. I mean, it's the more stringent of the two.
Can't hear you.
It's the more stringent of the two, but with a deletion.
Correct.
Okay. Well, just on that list of the August 12th version, in section 4, or reference pages 3 and 4, I understand the city doesn't like those. They find them I guess too restrictive. I'm not sure how how objectionable most of these are. I don't see why they are. A, interior floor drains, elevator shaft, sump pumps, and parking garage floor drains will be plumbed to the sanitary sewer.
Okay.
B, landscaping shall use pest-resistant plants appropriate to site soil, slopes, climate, sun, rain, interactions, so as to minimize the need for fertilizer pesticides. Okay. What's wrong with that? I mean, if you go through most of these, except for F, industrial processes, If you add outdoor hazardous waste storage areas to G, which only gets you to about where you'd be with RCRA anyway, what else is such a problem with this? Why is this so onerous? I don't understand.
Dr. Press, this is an incomplete list. That's what it is. There's a whole lot of other source control things that should be there that are not. The list from CASCOID is more complete, more detailed. To cherry pick some things and put it in there in the front section, it makes it incomplete. So therefore, an applicant say, well, it's not in this list, therefore I don't have to do it.
How about if you said this list and CASCOID?
And plus, this hasn't been vetted. For example, the item C where it says pool, spas, ponds, decorative fountains, and other features shall have a sanitary sewer cleanout located in an accessible area within 10 feet. So that has not gone out to the community and said, every time you put a decorative fountain in, you have to put in a sewer cleanout. You have to run a line. I mean, these are the kind of things that should be publicly vetted, but not thrown into our standards in the 12th hour. And that's the point of our objections, because we have standards that are...
So are you saying that the CASCOA standards would not say anything about pools, spas, and ponds?
I'm saying that I don't know if there's a requirement for a sanitary sewer clean-out within 10 feet of a decorative fountain.
Okay, but you just told me that CASCOA standards
are more comprehensive than this list.
Oh, right, but on that point, are they just as detailed and as comprehensive?
I don't recall what that is, but the CASCOA standards is a vetted standards. It's gone through a lot of people, and people have reviewed it. The city feels that because of that standard of care in which it's been publicly gone through a lot of folks, including the regional board, we feel confident that those standards are acceptable standards. We don't know if this would be, especially in the city of Salinas, because it has not gone through public review. None of these have gone through public review. It's just, again, inserted in the last
second. But we can't have it both ways. We can't say that they haven't been put through public review, but the CASCOA standards are more comprehensive or more detailed.
They are more comprehensive.
Then it's not controversial. That by prima facie, it wouldn't be controversial because the CASCOA standards are covering everything here, plus are more detailed and comprehensive. It's just not logical.
There doesn't mean they're identical, Dr. Press. There's a greater listing. For example, the one with regards to fueling area is two pages on what that it should be, not just the paragraph.
Francis, maybe you could.
I did want to clarify that this August 12th version has been subject to public review. It may not have been subject to the city's stakeholder process, but it's been out for public comment. So according to the regional board requirements for public comment, it has happened. It does say in the way the August 12th version says that you're required to incorporate BMPs that correspond to the problem, including the following. So this would be a specific list, but in addition, there's nothing that precludes using the CASCOA list also
because of that language, including the following, right.
The applicant shall identify each potential source within the project and incorporate corresponding source control BMPs.
Right, so in a way...
So you could say including the following. I think the problem is what I'm getting from you is that there might be an inconsistency between this list and the corresponding CASCOA standard, and to the extent they're inconsistent, which is the appropriate one to use?
Well, because...
And that's where it doesn't...
Well, sometimes when you have multiple sets of requirements and standards, what you do is you say, we use set A and set B. When there's a conflict, the more stringent is the one that you are using. So the one that's more protective of water quality. So we could say...
Right, and here it's where it's corresponding to address the source problem. So if, for example, you could have a decorative fountain at your house that doesn't have any discharge anywhere, and you wouldn't need the connection to the sanitary sewer, it wouldn't be a source of runoff, so that part wouldn't apply.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you implement this list as appropriate to address the source problem. And same with if you add it, if you want to add, keep this list and add in and CASPA and the more, you know, stringent
wins.
Win.
Is applied.
For purposes of protecting water quality,
yeah. Okay.
Wins.
All right.
Do that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
our revised recommendation was to drop out this A through whatever it is on page 4. Revert to basically the original recommendation, right, Matt? So that's what's reflected in the document that says revised September 3rd, 2008. Now, I can understand frustration with saying, well, what's wrong with these individually? But I think that's kind of smaller potatoes than the bigger issue of LID in general and the hydro modification point. So I still think it would probably be a good idea to revert to the September 3rd list here. Matt has said he considers it functionally equivalent in terms of being protective. And if it's just a matter of arguing about which is more clear, we probably ought to get past that. So one thing I would like to ask the city, if I may, is specifically on part 4A, which Dr. Press was asking Mr. Tunstall about earlier, and Mr. Tunstall, if I understood him correctly, said this is essentially the way he's been designing LID projects for a couple of years. What are the specific objections that you have to part 4A?
Which page is that on?
Page 3 of the attachment, which is says revised September 3rd. So it's the one that has the discrete, it's option A compared to B, which is the computer modeling.
This is the, it's actually reference number 3, section 1.5.3.
Okay. There's another 4 on that same page, that's
yeah.
why it wasn't clear.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Yes. There is some confusion about 4A. 4A can either be a redundancy with the current standard because we already have a 0.6-inch requirement in our standard, numeric standards. It's also part of the numeric standard that's in the permit. That is in our permit. That is in the standards. So what is there is either a redundancy or something not clear, and that is one of the problems with insertion of something because it creates problems. And I think I could refer to Harvey because Dave, we've talked about this. Like, what is this?
Well, that's what I'm asking: is what is your objection to it?
Because it, you can't. It's difficult to interpret as to what it is because it's either a redundancy which is already in the document or it's something which is not clear. Go ahead.
On the page 2. It talks there, section 3B, and it says all volume BMPs shall be sized at a minimum for the runoff volume produced by a 24-hour 85th percentile storm for the city of Salinas. This equates to 0.6 inches. And then if you go into the details of the document where it talks about how you design something for a 0.6 inch per hour, it actually tells you you use a multiplier times the 0.6 times the runoff coefficient and stuff to size something specifically. And the this one provision in here does it sort of contradicts the other. It may actually it hasn't been completely vetted out. People, we haven't gone through on the other design guidelines that were provided. People have gone and designed a lot of facilities using the other criteria. They know what they mean. This other one puts a kind of a redundant layer that hasn't been tested to see does this. What do you end up with when you design this system and you try to interpret, there's not an example in the book. There's examples in the back of the book that say how you design a swale. It tells you when you're doing the first one, the 0.22 inches per hour, there's examples that tell you stuff about how deep the water can be in the swale and what the resonant time is so that it has the opportunity to percolate. All those criteria are spelled, all the process for design are spelled out in the book. We haven't had an opportunity to say, well, is this an option to a facility size versus the other way, or does this negate the other one? I don't know if it's more stringent or less stringent than the other one because we haven't tested the design. We don't know.
Let's have staff respond to this. Matt, do you have? Can you shed some light on this confusion?
This is the later section of the document which provides more detailed information on how to design both volume-based and flow-based best management practices. You can see that there's a reference to the 0.6 inches, which is the 85th percentile storm, and then it tells you how to use that 0.6 inches to design
use a pointer.
Those controls. Wrong one. Just let it wait for a sec. You can see here it refers to right here. This is the 24-hour 85th percentile rainfall depth. So it just tells you how to use that in this equation to design this volume-based treatment control BMPs. Likewise, it tells you how to do it for the flow-based treatment control BMPs. There's nothing in staff's proposed revisions that is inconsistent with this. All Section 3A says is that all flow-based BMPs shall be sized at a minimum. The maximum flow rate of runoff from the designated specific drainage area using the 85th percentile hourly rainfall intensity multiplied by 2. In the city of Salinas, this equates to rainfall intensity of 0.22 inches. There's no contradiction with this later section of the document.
Well, Matt, what you just referred to is an existing part. It's not the adder that's being referred to by Dr. Press.
Okay.
Well,
the underlying language here is what is being proposed to be added by staff. And you can see that the project applicant shall prepare an exhibit demonstrating that the project that for each discrete drainage area is either designed to control the runoff from impervious areas produced by the first 0.6 inches of rainfall is detained and infiltrated, or runoff is routed to BMPs meeting the requirements of these standards. There's nothing added here that is inconsistent
right.
with the
but
chapter
what about four,
what
what
I
about,
just showed you.
What about 4A? Moving down
right.
and going to the next page, there seems to be objection to 4A. As if 4A was undoing the methodology that you showed us at the outset.
Well, I don't see anything that's inconsistent. It's basically saying for each drainage area, you have to capture the first 0.6 inches of rainfall and either detain it and infiltrate it or detain it and seep it away slowly. And then it gives you some specifics, like you got to use 18 inches of soil and you can't exceed a surface loading rate of 5 inches per hour. But there's nothing in there that contradicts Chapter 4. That I can see.
So you see them as being consistent with each other?
Yeah.
Okay.
my point would be, you know, when you look at Section 3, it says if you infiltrate the entire 0.6 inches, and it doesn't give you a duration. So it's kind of it's a little bit loose there. It doesn't say how long I have to infiltrate that 0.6 inches. And then it says, well, if I infiltrate the 0.6 inches, fine. If not, then I could do A or B. Okay. But then it's when I go to the other one, it's like, well, either retain it exactly this way and exactly this soil matrix, this depth and this loading rate. I can't use something deeper, and I can't use something that may be a little bit more compact but provide the same functionality. It doesn't provide any flexibility, and then it doesn't give me the it kind of eliminates the flow-based option that's in Section 3. It seems to be confusing and from a designer standpoint where it's going.
Okay.
Well, you can go deeper because it says a minimum 18 inches.
Right, but it has the loading rate and I don't know. We haven't gone through the process. It hasn't had time to go through the process to say, I'd like to be, be able to ideally show, well, here's one facility, it's designed using this procedure. Here's one facility designed with this procedure. Here's this facility designed by these guidelines. So we could actually see the difference in the resulting product. And then, well, how would they actually function? We haven't gone through any of that. We don't know.
Well, Mr. Thompson, do you need 4A to, given that you have Chapter 4,
I'm sorry.
Do you need 4A, given that you have the methodology outlined in Chapter 4?
Well, Chapter 4 is like a guidebook. Part of it's like a guidebook to developers and engineers on how to actually do it. But there's got to be a section of document that are requirements. And what we're talking about is Section 1, which are things that are clearly required that the city is going to have to check for compliance. I think by having it in Section 1, it's
could you put up stronger. For the part of Chapter 4 that you just showed us at the outset?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so my understanding now that you've explained it, is that 4A, which is added to Section 1 where the requirements live, is in fact codifying as a requirement this methodology. That's what you're saying in a nutshell?
Yes.
Okay, so again, to keep the peace, even though it may be redundant, why not lift the exact language from the before the up to the point in the second paragraph after the bullets, as discussed in the previous section, rainfall depth associated with the 24-hour 85th percentile storm is 0.6 inches. I mean, basically, what I'm saying is you could take that language and import it into 4A. I think what you were trying to do is to make it turn it into a requirement. This is a methodology, but you're trying to get a methodology here. You've got it, and you kind of have it in 3AB. Maybe you reference in 3AB or this particular section so that it's clear that's what you're achieving there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think I would prefer a reference. I mean, the only reason you could promote this exact language right into Section 1. I think the only reason you would not do it is for readability. I mean, Section 1 is supposed to be, here are your requirements. Yeah. Subsequent chapters are supposed to be guidance on how to.
Okay, so maybe what you do is you say after 3B, you reference 4.4.2 so that there's a. It's clear that this is not only a, you know, a water quality requirement, but there's a methodology for achieving it. Because after all, the city wrote that. I mean, these are in the July 25th standards. There's no objection to this methodology, right? Nobody objects to this. So I'm just, again, trying to pull it into the requirements in an unobjective, uncontroversial way.
How about if we just let, I mean, we're dealing with engineering semantics, I'm afraid, between these two sections. Why don't we just let the language lie as it is proposed and just let staff and the applicant work this out as the city implements this? If they've got confusion or need guidance, they can ask staff.
Yeah,
or we can start pulling this apart further.
No, I was just trying to get. It seemed like this was a sticking point. So,
well, it is.
You know,
yeah,
because I think that with that and with the issue of standards, we could wrap this up. So I have an idea. You know, I have a proposal on that when you're ready.
Quick one, Mr. Chair.
Yes,
Mr. Hayashi.
I only have one problem with this 4A. It's that, you know, in the way we do another situation, you know, we're basically telling them how to do this. When we're telling them we have to have 18 inches of soil. And even though we may have it may be all right for us to do that, I don't think that it's our job to tell them how to do it. They just need to achieve it. Because if we tell them they need 18 inches of soil minimum or whatever to do this, and they do it and it doesn't work, then I think they're off the hook. So I think maybe this 4A, I mean, if we just go with the way Dr. Press has, you know, suggested we go with the formula.
Yeah, right after 3B, you just say you got to
4.42, whatever that was, and just
4.4.2. You got to demonstrate it with 4.4.2.
And then if anything comes back, it's not on our back because we told them how to do it.
Yeah, right.
They have to achieve it.
Right.
And they can figure out how.
That's where I was getting at.
Okay. Staff?
And we're done. I think just for simplicity, I mean, and let's just get this thing done.
Does that work?
Yeah, I regret that I didn't hear everything that he said, but.
Well, he was basically reiterating what Dr. Press was suggesting, that you reference the section in Chapter 4.
Yeah.
I guess what we're saying is that at least several of us on the board are saying that we feel like your requirements are already specified in 3, and that a clear reference to section 4.4.2 and the subsequent section tells you how to demonstrate that you're in compliance with this piece. Enough said. Move on.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make one clarification in the section 4B, there's all this stuff about the 10-year peak that's crossed out, and you're intending to continue to have that crossed
out. That's right.
Okay.
I'm intending actually to strike 4AB. Yes, and actually, and then just add a short sentence after, at the end of 3, reminding the reader that the methodology for demonstrating compliance, or for calculating actually the flow and volume treatment methods, are in Chapter 4.4. That's all.
So does that work for the city?
Striking the additions to 4A and B and inserting a reference works for the city.
Okay.
Wait a minute. There's, and I'd like to If I may, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
So we can move
it
forward. I would like to, you know, Mr. Briggs suggested that was urging us to stick with the September 3rd version. There's disagreement between Mr. Shemek and the city about the August 12th list and so on. If we got rid of the August 12th list, I would insist that we take the CASCLA standards handbook and we actually incorporate it into as an appendix to the to the standards, number one. Because right here it says CBMP design and selection matrices in section 2.3.
But those are going to be updated, right?
Well, sure.
From time to time, so
they can be, the reference can be, include the CASCLA standards handbook and updates as they become available.
Yeah. It's even better than that. It's right in the very first page of the document. It says that these standards shall be used in conjunction with the most current version of the California Stormwater Quality Association best management practice for new development and redevelopment.
Uh-huh.
So basically, right in the front page, we tell them that document is part of this document. So
okay.
It is incorporated, not in the back, but right in the front.
All right. And my second point is: Are you going to create a step-by-step manual for navigating through those standards? I mean, there are choices in those. In that handbook, it's not going to be the same thing every time. So, how does an applicant, how does an engineer, make a choice between them? Do you leave it up to them? Is it a suite? Is it a menu?
I think, to a certain degree, we need to allow some flexibility for the engineer. On the other hand, we do have a matrix so that they understand that for the application. They need to handle certain pollutants, and those BMPs in that matrix tell them what BMPs are needed to handle those pollutants of concern.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That is basically, I think, how staff wanted us to do it. They wanted us to identify for the applicant the pollutants of concern with regards to the application, because if you allow the applicant to define what the pollutants concern, you're going to get the whole universe. So we basically kind of, in that way, are prescriptive with regards to the BMPs used for the application. Is this a perfect document? I got to say it's not. Does it need improvement? It could. I'm not here to say that in that manner, but the thing is that's what the intent of the document is.
Okay.
Well, you'd still like to see it attached as an appendix.
I would.
Yeah. And would this come
when
up
we can
for
do that.
Our review in 5 years?
I mean,
this is an attachment to the permit.
It's a requirement of the permit.
Okay, so it will come up
every time
we renew the permit.
No.
No.
I don't think that's the idea. I mean, this is the first time it's being implemented. It's going to be a living document. There are going to be subsequent versions as our knowledge about LID evolves. But if the subsequent permit doesn't require the LID manual or the stormwater development standards to come to you, we won't be bringing it back.
Well, the subsequent permit is drafted by staff. So,
right.
You can add that to that draft permit.
Yeah, I mean, we could always add that to the permit. We could bring it back to you in 5 years.
We're talking about the stormwater permit.
Correct. Mm.
Right?
Right.
It's an NPDES permit. It's going to come up for renewal every five years.
But it requires the standards. Right. The standards are outside the permit.
Right.
But you could make them a condition of the permit.
It is.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. To review them also.
All right. Carl.
I have a recommendation. In the when we revise the permit or re-up, that you require that the standards be revised to meet the new permit. I mean, that can be done. That makes sense. You know what I'm saying? And I would expect that anyway. So, I mean, if there's any heartburn now, we're only a couple years away. If there's any heartburn with the document now and the state of practice with hydro modification, in a couple years, there's going to be a whole lot more known about how this process should proceed. And at that point, we can discuss and agree to in the permit how this process should be applied in the development standards. So the development standards must comply with the permit. Mm-hmm.
Staff agrees with that.
Okay. Yes? Okay. All right.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I just want to emphasize that it's a serious thing to remove requirements. And so if we're going to add a reference, the city needs to understand, and we all need to understand, that by adding a reference, it's a requirement. They must comply with the reference. It's not just a reference in the requirements. You actually have to comply with what we're referring to.
Well, the language should reflect that.
Yes.
Yes.
So however we change that, we just need to make sure that language is clear.
Okay. All right. Can we pull this together somehow? Are we at that point?
All right.
Dr. Hunter?
I don't think we're that far apart, personally. But
we need a motion.
Okay. Does staff have any last points to give us? Okay. Dr. Press?
Well, so I think the changes I was suggesting had to do with adding language to 3, referring to Chapter 4.4, Section 4.4 of Chapter 4, striking 4AB, and then under 4.2, that in part two, because the language CBMP design and selection matrices in section 2.3, we want language that says that the CAS score standards are attached and that BMPs of the sort that are outlined in there are required for compliance, as Mr. Thomas has suggested.
Okay, but these are just changes to staff's recommendation.
Right.
For the motion, correct?
Right.
Mr. Briggs?
Right.
Okay. Any other changes, Mr. Briggs, that we have talked about including in this?
I think that's it. So that was a motion.
I'm looking at
that motion specific enough for you? Is it?
I think that's good.
My question, Mr. Chair, before we have a motion, I just want to make sure that the city engineer understands exactly what we're attempting to do.
I would like you to. Could you, someone, read back the motion and
define
it?
Because you were in discussion with other people, and I don't think you heard the total.
Right. Yeah.
Can I just ask a question? That there's in this section 4, there's 3. That has the first one, the part that had the list, that now you're proposing to not have the list, but instead refer to the standards. So there was section 1, have pollutant prevention and minimum.
No, I was talking about, it was actually, I'm sorry, section 3, 4A, B is what was being, I'm suggesting is being stricken.
Right, that part, but the part about where the cost standards would be referred to is in section 1.5.5 BMP implementation.
Yep.
And the way the August 12th version had section 1 listing that list. But now we're proposing to take that list out and incorporate, so it has the applicant's stormwater control plan shall identify each potential source within the project and incorporate corresponding source control BMPs into the project design, and that's where you want to say.
And that's where
and we,
based on
the
CASCA standards,
which are hereby
handbooks
incorporated
and included.
Yes.
And attached as an appendix.
Right. Based on how do you, what are those standards called, whatever?
Well, they're...
I don't know what the acronym, the
CASQA.
Right.
Is this going to be written where that would refer to that?
Absolutely.
Because I wouldn't want somebody to misinterpret this a year from now.
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out exactly where it goes. And so it would go in that.
You know, you could say where it says a combination of appropriate source control BMPs and LID treatment BMPs can be found in the CASQA handbook here attached, and its updates.
Carl, does that make more sense?
Yes. I think the exact wording needs to work out with staff, but I think the intent here is to utilize the CASQA source control document as a requirement.
I'm sorry.
Well, what I was trying to figure out is do they go with 1, 2, and 3 on of the proposed changes to Section 1.5.5, or do they just go with 1, or just 2, or just 3? And I think they go with at least 1 and 2.
Well, I'm not suggesting messing at all with what staff suggested in 3, be selected for maximum.
Right, yeah, effective. So 3 is stays the same.
Yeah.
But and then 2 is...
And then 2 needs to just specifically require that the applicant turn to the CASQA standard handbook for appropriate source control BMPs.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Can Chairman, I add? I'll give you 30 seconds just to tell us if it's something about what we're discussing right now.
Yes.
Okay. 30 seconds.
So exactly to the point of incorporating the CASQA handbook.
Yes.
Mr. Cloak's comments, his first comments were he says that the selection criteria proposed by the city will lead to, you know, selection of BMPs that may not meet MEP. In other words, because CASQA is not prescriptive, it offers options for what you would do with all these situations, and you get to choose among these options. Mr. Cloak's analysis of that section, Section 3, which he refers to in his original document, says that that will lead to could lead to selection and choices that do not meet the standards.
Okay. Okay. And what if we require them to select choices that do?
Well, we already do require. We have a performance measure in Section 3, in 3.3. We have a performance-based standard right there. And we do this with the ag waiver as well. We say now go and get some BMPs, but you have a performance-based standard that you have to meet. So I'm satisfied that in implementation, we and the city is going to need to look at the BMPs and say there's a standard that your selection of BMPs has to
adhere to.
So yeah. I don't think we can do better than that.
All right.
So
can I make one suggestion? Knowing that one of the issues that the city staff has is with some of the language and how it could be misinterpreted with regards to how this it fits in with the document, that the exact language that's actually inserted in the document be done by city staff but approved by your staff so that it meets the intent of what you're trying to do, so that there's no hardship with regards to the exact insertion and problems with interpretation by development in the community. Because I can see some of that, and that's some of the whispering that's going on with me with some of the other things that are here.
No, these are the changes, and this is what we're voting on. I mean, I don't understand. You're wanting to do more changes? More wordsmithing?
No, it's some of the other things other than what's being discussed. There are other required revisions that have not been discussed. For example, page 5, you know, I'd like to hear back the motion, because does the motion include these required changes? And if they do, the suggestion that I make is that the city be allowed to work with staff in rewording some of it so it works with the document.
Well, I think this is it. This is the day. This is the moment.
Okay.
We want to keep the suggested Section 3. We're striking other parts. My motion is to only had to do with what I suggested before. Which was
my suggestion is if there's a problem that arises in implementation after we adopt these standards, then if you can't work it out with staff, that you can always come to the board and ask us to look at it. And, you know, we've done things like that in the past, and, you know, if we, you know, think it has merit, we'll do it.
Mr. Chair, I think the motion is asking staff to make it so in terms of the exact wording. And what I would suggest is that we will do that, and we will share it with the city prior to finalizing it and see if there's something that we missed. But it will have to be consistent with your motion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with that.
One last question.
So that's a first.
Yes.
And then do we still need to make a thing to exempt ag from processing, or is that?
No. That's out.
Part of the motion.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. Does the city understand what we're about to do?
Can you read back the motion? We just want to clarify that. That's all.
Okay. I have moved that we are adopting the staff's September 3rd revision, all right, with the following change to section to reference number 3, page 2, section 3, after part B, that we staff add language to the effect that the flow and volume treatments will be calculated as outlined in Chapter 4, Section 4, 4.4.2, 4.4.3, okay? And that we then strike further on in that section, Part 4, on pages 2 and 3, and that then at the top of page 4 in Section 4.2, that staff add a sentence or modify the last sentence specifying that a combination of appropriate source control BMPs and low impact development treatment BMPs will be selected from the CASCO standards handbook hereby attached and as updated. That's it.
Okay. That's the motion.
I'll second.
We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Why don't we take a 10-minute break before we launch into our last agenda item, which is number 9.
I'm going to find